Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. TGIF. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Big day today. We got earnings. We got a jobs number. A lot to talk about. Quick reminder, if you're in the YouTube chat, we turned on subscriber-only mode for Subscriber Friday. So if you want to play in the chat with us and drop us tickers for us to look at, just subscribe to Binzing on YouTube. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. All right, let's start the show. Let's bring on Joel, Dennis, and let's do our thing here.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conan, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
What's up, everybody? How are we doing this morning?
Doing well. Is that a little Motown at the end of that introduction, or you don't know?
Could be.
Sounds like a little Aretha Franklin, maybe.
Could be. Anyway, good morning, guys. Good morning, Joel. Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, everyone in chat. I guess we just start off with the overall market here, because it's I wrote all's quiet on the futures front, because it is quiet, is it not, Joel?
Yeah, chop and slop, a decent range. We can talk about the part of the range that Dennis missed last night. But the S&P futures are up five handles, 80.75.
Yes, your charts.
Is that a song?
I just made it.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I'm just so busy cracking up at your introduction. You just got so much energy. Anyways, chop and slop, up five handles. Let's take out yesterday's high. Let's get in a 4,600 handle, and let's just forget about this week and forget about all the nonsense this market did by going down. Crude, big rebound. We're $6 off that low yesterday in the 62 handle, up $1.79, 68.29. Gold in the green by $10 at 17.73. Silver going to the same way, up just 6 cents at 22.38. Bitcoin, now I'm telling you, Dennis, I know you didn't like that chart yesterday. Boy, it's sleepy. I don't know. Is it time to do a little, you know, little straddle or strangle here? 55 to 60. It's not going to stay here forever. Ethereum, still strong. That's up $76.75 at 46.20. Still hanging on to half of that rebound in Ethereum. So, nice. Triple D, number one. How you feeling?
Not great. I'm trying. This has been a vicious cold. I hopefully get the test results for my COVID test today. They said probably later tonight, because it's usually 48-hour turnaround, but they said they usually sometimes come sooner than that. So I'm 4 days now on this one. I obviously took one day off and trying to fight it. I'm obviously trading still, but not feeling great.
Fever?
Yeah, it's a slight, but I haven't had a fever in 30 years, I'll tell you. Like, I never get a fever. So,
congestion.
Very congested.
Achiness.
And just like aching and weak.
Yeah, shivering, that stuff. Flu. But that's the signs of COVID, too. So that's why I went for the COVID test, and we'll see. But like I said, you know, it's been running through my family, my extended family, and none of them, when they went for the COVID test, had COVID. So I'm assuming it's just the same flu bug that they had. But just to be sure I wouldn't got the COVID test. So we'll find out later.
Yeah, I know I'm not a doctor, but I'm married to one, so I can make simple diagnoses. And
that's definitely how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. It's a coin flip. It really is. I don't know. I don't know what you were at that water park, right? And obviously you don't wear.
Yeah, I went to a hotel. You can pick stuff up there. I mean, yeah. I'm the person that's the first place I've really went, you know, public, because I've obviously been scared of it.
Camping trip.
Yeah, but that's outside. But I mean, the first, like, I'm in a hotel, staying in a hotel for a few days with other people. You got to live, right? Like, we've been, you know.
I agree.
In lockdown ourselves, basically, for a year, trying, obviously, because, you know, my boy's got asthma, my daughter's got asthma. We've been trying to protect ourselves, but you can't just stay like that forever. So we were trying to live on the edge a bit. And apparently, I got punished for it with at least a flu bug, and I hope it's not COVID, but we will find out.
You got punished twice. You've gotten away twice now. You did the
camp. And I got sick. I did.
And you got sick both times.
Yeah, I did. I got sick off of the the family, mostly off of the camping trip too. Outside camping trip, oh, sick, man. Crazy, eh?
Hey, what are the odds?
Well,
anyway, okay. Let's go to the market here. I guess we'll just start. I know Joel's thoughts, but Dennis, what are your thoughts on yesterday's action? We had a little bit of a bounce.
I mean,
and
we bounced right off the previous day's low in SPY. Bring up your SPY chart. I know Joel likes his S&P futures, but a lot of people just look at the SPY. I just look at the SPY because I don't want to pay the $700 a month for the S&P futures quotes. Yes, because I'm professional, they charge me a different rate, and that's what they want to charge me. So I'm like, screw it. 5 years ago, I'll just use SPY. 450.29, 450.31, the lows from the previous 2 days. So those coincide perfectly with each other. And we talk about when you don't breach the previous day's low, those can be signs for turnaround. I don't think it's a coincidence that people started looking at that and then started buying. You actually started with a little Cathy rally early in the morning where the growth stock started to probably oversold, started to rally. That gave that back in the later in the day. And then obviously they rotated into the value, which we thought they might. So stocks like General Motors, the value stocks, where they had been working before, those are the ones you want to buy on dips. That's what was working yesterday. So we saw a serious rally into value. I think the value rally continues.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a very hot take. Because we were, you know, as we were saying at the close yesterday, it takes more than one day, right? So
I mean, we're going to be choppy. The one thing I will say is this is not the market environment that you need to chase in. If you're coming out and you're chasing moves and you got to be in it and you're doing it backwards. This is not the market to chase. This is a fading market. What's that mean? Again, buying dips, selling rips, or selling short rips and buying dips. I mean, that has been working here. I think that trade continues. So if you're coming in and you're buying now, we're going to get a big jobs number. Maybe it continues higher. It's good news for the market that SPY did not breach its previous day's low and bounced right off of that. And it was a broad-based rally. There were still some stocks like Zoom that just go down every single day no matter what. But there was a lot of stocks that really ripped higher. We talked Cleveland Cliffs on the show. That actually, that didn't have that. Some of the commodity stocks, well, actually, I'm starting to look at a few. The oil stocks really, you know, had a nice bounce. So I know I was looking. I went to Cleveland Cliffs. I was like, well, that was up, but it didn't really close up. And then I was going down U.S. Steel. Well, that didn't really either. And we got Nucor news this morning. So, I mean, I think you're buying value on dips. I think if you're so inclined to get in there, I think you got to stay away from all those growthy names. I think they still continue to not work because they're simply all overvalued, and this market is starting to care a little bit about value. It might go back. Like, I'm not saying these stocks can't come back into favor, but I don't see any signs that is turning anytime soon.
Yeah, what? Sorry, Joel, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, what was the culprit in? I mean, no, spoos are up and down and all around, but what was the big negative catalyst yesterday in the market? Like, the hottest stock that had a negative catalyst. What stock was that?
Apple.
Do you see what Apple did?
We did. Yep. Yes, we
there
did.
There you go.
They bought the dip on it again.
Yep.
They can't stop buying the dip on. And it's value tech. I mean, yeah, you can say, oh, it's trading 30 times. But I mean, compared to some of these other ones.
Yesterday, you did not say that.
No, I'm not saying I said anything. I'm just saying it's value tech. And it's not surprising that they would buy that right back because that's what they've been buying.
I could have sworn yesterday you were like, Apple's not value. Or maybe I imagined that. Did I imagine that?
Apple's
I think you imagined that. Because if you're looking at tech,
All right.
Anything that's trained 25, 30 times earnings in tech is value tech, because you struggle to find tech stocks that are trading like 15 times earnings. They just aren't out there. So, you know, you look at Microsoft, Google. I mean, they're trading Facebook. They're trading in that 20 to 30 range. If you can find the tech stocks that are trading at P's of 10, those could be attractive going forward. But those are hard to find. I mean, you get lots of stocks. Commodity stocks trade P's of 6. Banks trade P's of 9. But to find a tech stock trading under 20 PE, unless it's really struggling, meaning like it's actually going, you know, it's tough to find those stocks.
All right, let's go to some away from quote unquote value tech into the growthy tech here. You know, hey, it's not every day where I pat myself on the back, but I'm going to do that this morning because as Alex,
I patted you. I'm the one that called it out. Thank you.
If you weren't watching our At the Close show, which Joel and I do every day from 3:30 to 4,
then I don't know what you're doing with your life.
If you weren't watching that, here is what you missed.
I'm also cosplaying as the investor relations team for Asana and DocuSign because they both report earnings tonight, and I don't even think it matters what they say. Because it's probably going to be bad.
Wow. The baseball bat, too. I love the baseball bat. You're ready to clobber some stocks, and you did.
Wait, where is the bat? Now
you clobbered some stocks there. Holy mackerel. That's one of the best calls we've seen. DocuSign just absolutely assassinated. It's down 74 points, down 31%. Asana, same story, down 15%. From bliss to piss, these stocks are just awful now. Great call, Mr. Israel.
I mean, it was the most obvious thing in the world.
You know, obvious, but you know what? This market does not position itself for the obvious. Take case in point last night. New York. Oh, we have cases Omicron in New York. Sell everything.
Right.
Nobody could possibly have anticipated that it could be even remotely possible that Omicron would eventually get to New York. How can you anticipate anything like this? And Zero Hedge was one that said that, but I was thinking the same thing, Zero Hedge. I mean, this is the market. It's simplicity. It's the obvious is not priced in. And you know what? Zoom, or you know, obviously, you know, we've seen Zoom, we've seen a lot of, you know, the Pelotons, and now you get DocuSign. I mean, you're right. That was an obvious call. The obvious call, if you would have put that trade on, Mr. Israel, down 31% in one day. You make 31% just from doing the obvious. This market prices in none of the obvious.
Yeah. And just to give
you... That's a good thing for traders. You can make money just using logic right now.
And just to give you, you know, the actual numbers here, like again, DocuSign, again, and if I had played the video for longer, I also said like the numbers frankly are irrelevant because it was a fine quarter, right? They beat the EPS compared to the estimate. They made more money than the street was expecting in terms of sales, but their forward looking guidance, their forward looking numbers were light. And what the CEO said on the call was like, consumer behavior kind of came back down to earth, right? We just had the best year of our lives, and now we're sort of on the downswing of that. And Asana said the exact same thing, right? Like the forward-looking numbers. And again, we all knew this was coming because every single stay-at-home play this entire earnings season said the exact same thing as Asana and DocuSign said last night. So again, it's not even so much like the estimates are irrelevant. They can, because they beat, and it doesn't matter. All that matters is the growth rate is slowing down, and they said that, and we knew that was going to happen, and that's why Asana – well, actually, Asana's not even down as much as – Asana's now what, like 10%? More than that now?
14.
15.
Yeah, but let's put it in perspective. Asana hit a new all-time high at the beginning of November. We just left November. Like, in 3 weeks, Asana got cut in half. Man, you were getting punished for being long growth, I'll tell you that. If you're along these high P nosebleed multiples – You haven't been listening to the show because we've been warning you about these stocks for a while here. But two, this is just reckoning day for everyone who has just said valuation doesn't matter. And it didn't matter for a long time. But just blindly investing in the growth story, blindly trading the growth story is fine. You get the hell out when trend breaks. blindly long-term investing in the growth story, like when you're paying these ridiculous multiples, is a recipe to lose money. The recipe was shown back in 1999, 2000, and Kathy Woods learned that the hard way right now.
First of all, we were talking about this, and after the whooping that Asana took yesterday, in the ripping market, that thing like barely rallied and closed near the low of the session. So you could tell the street was just selling hand over fist on that one. I don't know why they had that blip up there on the actual number. Let's see if we can find. We're trading just under 75 is the pre-market low. 75 even is the pre-market low. What do we got on that? Is there anything on the monthlies here? Boom, boom. 74.18. I'm not leaning on one monthly low, but if you take out that 75, you do have a monthly low at 74.18. But the interesting chart, too, is this DocuSign, because there's just no bounce. Look at this thing.
No,
it's down $73. It's down 30%. And they're just, I mean, someone says, okay, I'm going to buy 160 to 162. I might buy more. I might pull my bid.
No bad.
I have absolutely, you know, so 160 is going to be the swing number. And, oh, man, the next monthly low, holy mackerel, comes in at 130, 120. Oh, no, 170.80. There are my two numbers, 174 and 170.80. But they got to find a buyer here. There's just
we've seen this story, this earnings season. When the stocks are in downtrends and they get hammered, they don't bounce. Back. They continue to leak. It's why I sold my Alibaba off of the bad report after 5 years. And look how, you know, look how good of a call that was for me to sell and take the loss in Alibaba at 148. And it was a 3-point loss, but you know, I held it for 5 years, so it felt like a lot bigger loss than that. But 148, and it's been straight down every single day since. Take a look at the Alibaba chart. That is what your DocuSign chart might look like. I'm not saying, you know, anything can happen. Maybe we rally into growth. Maybe it all changes. But if I was betting, I would think that this continues to leak. And you know what? It's continued to leak all night. I think you're going to get some little rip and roaring rallies in there as well. I think those rallies are to be sold. It would not surprise me in the least if we look back at if we look at DocuSign in a month and it's at 130. It would not surprise me in the least.
So to Joel's point about the initial pop, this is, I'll tell you why I think both these things actually got initial pops. It's because the algorithms are programmed to read the numbers compared to the estimates. And the estimates were lower. They beat the estimates. Asana and DocuSign both came in above the estimates on EPS and on sales. And Asana actually came in above estimates on their guidance. But it's not, that is not what matters. It is year over year stuff that matters here, or the quarter over quarter stuff that matters here. And that's why they both got the pop. And I got to admit, even I'm surprised that I did not expect this in DocuSign. I mean, 31%.
How could you just not, if you were long this thing with any substantial, you know, size, how could you not just be layering on? I mean, just, I know, Dennis, you say, you know, don't show your
hand. We should
have
been short it.
Yeah.
I don't short in the earnings reports typically. You know, I'm a trader. I'm a short-term trader. But, man, that setup was really nice. And Spencer with the baseball back call. Man.
You guys want another easy one this morning?
Yeah.
Monday, MNDY. This is just like Asana. It's a peer of Asana. It's actually trading higher this morning.
Did it report yet? When's the report?
Yeah, it reported like a month ago.
There's no catalyst, though. What's the catalyst?
Asana is the catalyst. Growth is the catalyst. Lack of it.
I don't like that setup as much as the DocuSign one. I don't know anything about Monday.com either, though, other than it's a ridiculous name.
It is the same company as Asana. It's the same service. It's the same business.
Why is it trading up on the bad Asana report, then?
I don't know. That's why I said it's an easy one.
Probably no volume.
I don't know if it's that.
There is no volume. Okay.
That's $300 stocks are thin. I get stopped out on all those things. And this is the market. You were talking about this in the pre-market show. This is the market. You get stopped out on everything. So using stops in here is just like a recipe to lose money because it's so much chop. You get stopped out on everything. It's a tricky market to trade. I mean, from an inefficiency perspective, it's good. But, you know, we'll talk about some of those strategies, obviously, in another week when we do our third educational event. But from just a swing trading perspective, it's a tough market. Because you know what? You're trying to put on risk-reward, and it's kind of murky. It's stopped out a lot of stuff.
All right, it's not all bad on the earnings front. We should be clear about that. You can, and I know the chat's been all over this too. Marvel, MRVL, is trading up, what, 10%, if not
22%.
More, 22% this morning on its earnings report last night. EPS came in higher. Sales came in higher. Guidance was also strong for their EPS and their sales. They guided revenue growth for the quarter of around 9% year over year, led by 5G. What else did they say? I mean, I feel like the 5G play has actually been a good one here. If you just look at like the FIVG ETF, which I think I own. I don't even remember at this point. No, I own it. And that's actually held up okay. And so Marvel is in that basket and trading higher this morning off its earnings report. So 5G has actually been an okay trade here.
I'm still long it. I've been long the stock since 40. I'm still holding on. It's kind of value tech, to be honest. And it does have the growth story with it, too. I love Marvel. I love this company. Kind of feels good when you don't own any of the ones that are going down 20, 30% today, and you do own the one that's up 22%. So kind of vindicated from my little, obviously, from my more value investing approach. But big move. I want to hold on to it. I mean, normally, I guess, you know, you sell the rips and it's a pretty good rip, but I just don't see the story cooling off anytime soon. So if the markets are eventually going back to new highs, it's going to be stocks like this that are over 100. So I'm holding on to my Marvel. Been in it for since the summer. It's actually been a great stock.
If 87.50 is your target, that's the pre-market high. Beyond that, there's no pain. There's nothing for anybody. No resistance. So if you have a larger position and you're trying to get out, you know, maybe you can do some scaling here. But right now, the only thing I can give you is that pre-market high, 87.50.
Wait, does Marvel have a dividend?
It might be small.
It's small. They do have a small one.
Yeah, okay. Real small.
All right, well, that qualifies them for value. No, it doesn't. I don't know. I'm making that up. Okay, so that's basically it. I mean, there was a couple more earnings, but none of them were super interesting, like Smart Sheet. We don't really care about that. Let's move on to the title of the show. I made it DD. This is an interesting headline. Actually, the headline was predictable. The reaction is what's interesting here. DD is going to delist off the New York Stock Exchange. This was, if you've been following the story, you know it's not a total surprise. There have been several reports about this in the past couple of weeks and months. What is interesting, though, is the reaction here. And also because we don't really know how this is going to work. So the headline broke yesterday after hours, right? DD is going to delist on the NYSE. But again, we don't really know how. Are they going to get taken private? That would require like $40 billion of capital to do that. Are they going to list on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange and just do a conversion? Are they going to list on another stock exchange like in Europe? But who would have them? London wouldn't take them. You know, what other stock exchange outside of China would take DD after this debacle? Probably no one. So what's likely here is either a buyout or they just list in Hong Kong / Shanghai. And they just do a one-to-one conversion, and you can just convert your shares, and that's that. I can't really explain to you why the stock went to $9 this morning. It also seems dumb that it's at $7 now because, you know, the news isn't a surprise, and we're light on details. So I'm not really quite sure why it's moving.
Here's the concerning thing is that they tried to get listed on Hong Kong, but the Hong Kong exchange actually requires companies to make money before they're listed. So then they come
over. Is
that
the truth?
That's what I heard on CNBC. Okay. So if that's not true.
I know nothing about that. That's interesting, though.
But they have more stringent requirements. Oh, we'll go list on the U.S. exchanges. So this is just a mess. I'll agree with Spencer on the pop over 9. When you're getting delisted, to me, that's bad news. I don't know why anybody. Once again, 4 a.m. traders, I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, I should put out 4 a.m. levels for these kind of things because there's like no reason to be buying this at 9. And I'll just give you, there's a bunch of monthly lows in here. Not that I'm buying it, but there's old-time low is 718. And so if you feel like
you know what,
you need to own it at the old-time low, go ahead.
I do have an idea. I do have an idea as to why it could trade lower. And I just looked this up right now. DD looks like is a member of 13 U.S. listed ETFs. I don't know what, you know, if DD's delisting is going to cause it to get yanked out of some indexes, that could result in some forced selling. If it's going to go OTC, that could result in some forced selling if certain investors have rules that they can't own OTC traded stocks. That's maybe one explanation for why it could trade lower off this. But we don't really know anything yet as far as if you own DD, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to your shares? I mean, you'll get some money back here, but it remains to be seen how. The pop was dumb. I guess the drop makes more sense to me than the pop, just because there could be some forced selling involved if they're going to delist, and you know, you have certain hedge funds or whatever institutions that aren't allowed to own non-exchange traded stocks or whatever. But yeah, anyway, so not a surprising story. Continuation of what we've seen, you know, in frankly all of these Chinese U.S. listed Chinese stocks, where we talked about Baba. Joel and I talked about JD yesterday. Joel, my buy the close, sell the open is not working in JD this morning. China just making new lows. KWeb making new lows today. So just to continue.
I don't want to own any of these China stocks. I sold the only one I had, which is Baba.
Yeah.
So now no more investing in China for me until, you know, something changes over there.
Yep. Brutal. Oh, that KWeb is at $42 now. Yeesh. Okay, a couple more minutes before we'll start getting ready for the jobs number. Zillow. I haven't looked at Zillow in a couple weeks.
Guidance.
I kind of forgot about Zillow, I'll be honest with you.
I thought they kind of like kitchen sinked it with all that information. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
Zillow's doing a buyback, a $750 million stock buyback that they announced this morning. They actually, no, I'm sorry. It was announced last night. And in addition to that, I'm reading in the pro now, they raised some guidance. Basically, they were like, Joel's right. Kitchen sink. Get all the bad news out at once. And now they're like getting back to normalcy here. So they actually raised their guidance last night and announced the buyback. So we're up here this morning off of those headlines. Interesting. Was that the bottom? Question mark.
If it gets above this pre-market high, I think it has a chance to do it. It's only a buck away, 61.19. You're starting to, you know, instead of buying on weakness all this time, like someone really wanted to own this under $53. The last six out of seven sessions, they were nibbling around there. Do they want to pay 60? I don't know. Does it want to break out above? If it gets above this pre-market high, I'll give you another target, 63.45. The longer it takes to take out that pre-market high, let's see. Top of yesterday's range is down at 55.41. If you're looking for a gap fill, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to see the 63.45, and I don't think you're going to get it as cheap as 55.41 today.
Yeah, this is one. Oh, I know. We just spent 3 days or more saying don't buy growth stocks, and I'm not going to buy this, but this is one that I would at least like throw on a watch list somewhere.
Sure.
Because
which one?
Because Zillow, I mean, just because it's like
and
you know what the whole thing showed? It showed a willingness to admit when you're wrong on the part of Zillow. They were like, "Yep, this iBuying thing, it ain't working for us. We screwed up. Let's get out. Let's cut our losses and get out." And that's what they did. Yeah. So props to them.
Yeah.
No, mad props.
Yeah, mad props. I think so too.
Yeah. So cool. Okay, it's 8:27 here.
I got to go trade this jobs number.
We got 3 minutes until the November non-farm payroll.
Going wide.
You know what? It could be a nothing muffin too.
They're gonna see chop and volatility. I gotta fade everything. That's how I'm approaching this. Just fading every single move. We rip higher, I'm selling it. We dip lower, I'm buying it. Unless it's like a crazy number, I'm gonna be fading. Not fading for 10 cents. I think you're gonna rip like $1.50 in either direction on SPY. So 15 handles up, 15 handles down. That's where I'm looking.
Now we don't even.
I'm going to trade it right now. Canceling all my orders too, because I would get picked off by all these high-frequency traders.
Part of me is with Joel here. I wouldn't be shocked if this is just a nothing burger, because no one knows, and here's why: no one knows what the numbers actually mean. Like, for example,
I don't know what anything means anymore.
For example, the estimates are for the non-farm payrolls figure to be anywhere in the ballpark of like 550,000 to 573,000 for last month. If the number is way lighter than that, if it's 400,000, or if it's way above that, if it's 700,000, I don't even know what that is. That good or bad? Because on the one hand, more jobs added is generally considered a good thing, but you've also got to think about what it means for what the Fed could do. I don't know how to interpret this. You've also got the unemployment rate, which is expected to tick down. You got people saying it's not even about the jobs number; it's about the labor participation rate. So, like, there's no consensus here as to, I think, what the number actually would mean for the market today. Whatever happens, if the market rallies off it, then it'll be obvious in hindsight, right? Whatever happens after the fact, but like going into it, I have no idea. I really don't. Like, we'll read you the numbers here, and Joel will narrate the market as it reacts in real time. But like, I'm clueless.
All right, 829. What do we got? What do we got? We got a pre-market high of 89. That's okay, but 93.75 was yesterday's high. That's the number you want to get to for a super bullish day today. For me, we are closing above last Friday's close at 95.75. On the downside, if we get to 66.50, that's mid-range on the session. Let's see if you find buyers. Between 66.50 and 4,600, not much there. So let's see what the actual number. November jobs report imminent. Was that Austin Goolsbee? What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Look at this. They got 8 people on there, and it's just me and Spencer.
We don't need 8 people.
No way.
Joel, we got me, you, we got our chat. That's all we need. Okay.
We're trying to pop.
Waiting for the number.
And we're dropping.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Got a little bit. People are jumping the gun.
You know what I should have done? Here we go. We got it. And it was light. 210,000 jobs added, non-farm payrolls added last month. Again, the estimate was in that 550 to 570,000 range. And so 210 compared to that mid-high 500 range. That's not ideal. Unemployment rate did tick lower more than expected, 4.2% versus the 4.5% consensus. So unemployment, if you recall, prior to COVID was at, I don't even remember what, like a 12-year low. It was at like, it was in the high threes, right? It was at 3.7 or 3.8. We're getting close to pre-COVID unemployment territory here, 4.2%, not that far off, but far fewer jobs added last month than we thought.
We're popping. We just took out the high. Now we're getting interesting here. 93.75 was the high. We just took that. We went 95 bid. So right now, the bulls are in control. We got to keep an eye on 93.75. That was a high from yesterday's session. And what else we got moving on here? 95.5 is the high. Looks like the Bulls have, you know, you had a little bit of a dip, nowhere near mid-range, nowhere near mid-range on the session. That little dip didn't even leave the 45-80 handle. We took out yesterday's low. Now, what the Bulls have to do is they got to hold this 93.50, poke our head over 4,600. There's got to be some buy stops in there. People just saying, oh, well, I'll get out if it goes above 4,600. But what is moving? What is moving with this? How are the banks reacting? Because what does this move for interest rates, right?
I don't know, Joel. I mean, Bitcoin just popped. Okay, so there's that.
It's still in its trading range. Still, let me get the pre-market chart up here. 24-hour market. JP Morgan's not showing you much. Man, banks, what's going up? Is it the tech? Come on, guys, give me some stocks that are going up.
I mean, yeah, the Qs are popping here, right? Apple just popped. All the tech stocks just popped.
They're buying the tech.
Yeah, they're buying tech. Frankly, they're buying everything, right? Yeah, Patty stocks. They're buying PayPal, too. They're buying all tech here. Okay. Even I was going to say DocuSign and Asana, but not so much. But yeah, you got your Qs, you got your big tech, your Apple, your Microsoft, you're all they're all popping.
Yeah,
Bitcoin, all your risk on assets, growth assets are popping here. I guess the interpretation is bet is weaker number means continued bazooka gun of.
Yeah, but he came out, Pumpin' Powell came out and said he was pessimistic, Powell. So,
I don't know. This is why I don't know what the, this is why I have no idea. I still don't freaking know what
they cleared out the stops at 4,600, went to 4,602. So, that's a good move. Right back at, you know, the funny thing is with all, let me grab my sheet here. With all the movement this week, right? With all the up and down and all around. Last Friday's close was 95.75. So here we are trading within a whisker of that. So I'm still good. I mean, the jury's still out. That was a nice pop. We're holding that yesterday's high, 93.75. So as long as we hold that level, the Bulls are still in control. Upside target based on a 9-day average trading range is up at 17.50. I'm sure a lot of people would like to see that. And I'd have to adjust my where were we right before the number? I would use that as a potential sign of weakness. And I let's see where we are. I'm going to look at the 8:29 candle here. Now we're down on – now there's – I hope Dennis waited to sell the rip because that was a pretty good rip. We lose the 93.50. At 8:29, we close.
Dennis is back. It's been 3 minutes.
I kind of thought so.
I sold SPY at 4. I think I might have got the high tick on the most. 4:59. Let me see. I was up at the 4:59.70s.
Let me see. I got to change my chart.
Did 4:59.70s. I had some sales up there.
Now, did you put the orders out there or did you hit a bid?
No, I had sitting in there.
Yeah.
How high did we get on SPY there?
Your
charts are all messed up.
No, they're not. That's a 1 minute. It just got to 58.48. How did you sell?
59.79. Your SPY chart's all messed up. I'm telling you.
No, it's not.
We traded up to 59.79. I'm short. Like, I see. Like
59.79?
Yeah, that shirt's wrong. I don't know what that shirt is. SPY.
59.80 was the high.
Just I got some off at 59.79. Yeah. I never get the high tick.
Yeah.
I don't know why your shirt's wrong.
I don't know. That's weird.
59.80 you have for the high?
Yeah.
I got some off at the high tick almost.
I'm gonna have to change one of my settings on this.
Joel.
I can't believe this.
Well,
you ain't fade, you ain't trade.
That's why Joel doesn't even look at this buy for this reason.
Yeah,
But okay. So what? I guess we're not tapering. I don't know what this means. Huh.
I know nothing.
Okay. I mean everything at the growth just popped and is now off the highs. I guess not really off the highs, a little bit off the highs. So anyway, I don't know.
What do you have for a high in Apple?
What do I have? I have to zoom in here. I have a 50. No, I have 65.40.
Yeah.
All right.
Huh. Well, bring up the SPY chart again. Bring it up on that 4 thing. Let's see what
the I am. Is. That's where it was.
No, it was a weird show you had up.
No, he had. No, he had. He was a hell.
There's something wrong here with the spy because it's not even moving right now.
Oh, that's weird.
That's so weird. All right. Something's wrong. I'm gonna have to spend 2 hours on the phone with TradeStation now. That sounds like fun.
It does. You know what else sounds like fun? Talking to our guest. That's
okay. Let's do that.
Boom! What a segue. Mies Schneider, managing director and market gauge. It's been a while since we've had her on. Too long, perhaps. Let's bring Mies on the show. Mies, welcome back.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
We are confused. Well, what else is new? We're always confused here. But trying to make sense of this number. I don't know if you've 7 minutes to be enough time for you to decide what you think. So what do you think?
7 minutes in heaven?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me step back a little bit because I think Uber focusing on that number may be a little short-sighted compared to everything that's going on over the last several weeks. Number one is, even before Black Friday, we started to see some risk off because I look at relationships, intermarket relationships. I look at how the long bonds are doing versus the S&P. Well, for a long time, the S&P was outperforming until a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I look at how the transportation sector is doing versus the S&P. For a long time, transportation was doing better than the S&P until a couple of weeks ago. That's risk off. Junk bonds were sort of flashing a warning even before that, in that bond brokers who come in to buy high yield debt companies, that's always the perfect risk on. Junk bonds were starting to go down pretty seriously. So then we had Black Friday, we had the big swoon, we had the Omicron scare, yada, 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 and we had Powell. Okay, so let's talk about Powell since that's related to the unemployment numbers. Powell is really good at talking at both sides of his mouth. So on one level, he said exactly what we saw today. He's concerned about the labor market, big concern. On the other level, he's concerned about inflation, not using that word transitory anymore. So he talked about speeding up the bond taper, which basically means less accommodation, but it doesn't mean that they're taking us off the juice, because he also didn't say he's going to raise rates. Forget about what all the other Fed members say. It's what Powell says that counts the most. So essentially, the signal he gave to the market this week, and the reason why we came back, is if things are doing well, we won't be as accommodative as we've been in the past, and we'll start to remove some of that bond buying. By the way, the balance sheet actually went up yesterday. And yet, at the same token, don't worry. We're worried about inflation, but we're way more worried about the economy, as they should. So this today proves exactly what his concerns are legitimate concerns. And that's why we're seeing the bounce in the market. So that's one major theory I think you have to keep in your mind here, is the market is so focused on these jobs reports for that reason. But it was already concerns coming into this that inflation is still very much alive and well. And that's really, I think, where we're going to go, maybe stagflation next year. That's my number one theory.
Whoa, you said the stagflation were there. You said so much that I don't even know what to respond to. But let's start with that. You just ended on a low note there, stagflation. No one likes to hear that. Although maybe we've already been in the stagflationary environment. I don't know.
Well, the deflation part really didn't get going until after we saw the nadir in COVID last year in 2020. The stagnating part, though, when have we had some real serious growth in the actual economy? I'm not talking about growth stocks. I'm talking about in the actual U.S. economy. If you look at, guys, my Modern Family, if you look at what the Russells have been doing, they haven't really done very much. They had that one little quick trip to new highs, but they've been sideways. Transportation looked like it was going to get going, then it backed off. Retail looked good for like a nanosecond, and now that's backed off. These are all the signs here that the economy, where are we going to get growth from? And I think that's the biggest concern. And obviously, people don't want to work. But I think there's another thing to look at here, which is going to sound terrible, but actually has a silver lining. And that is the credibility factor. Everything pretty much in our lives has lost credibility in terms of being investors. The government, not so credible. Politicians, not so credible. Scientists, not so credible. The media, not so credible. And on and on and on. Nothing really has major credibility except for one thing. Retail investors, what they're buying, what they're putting their money in because they're so flush with cash, is the one credible thing that I think has really helped keep this market from completely collapsing. And that doesn't look like that's going away, at least anytime soon. What we've seen recently, though, is if the retail investors back off and we get a swoon like we saw on Friday and then again earlier this week, we can see those retail investors back up, but they're sitting there on the sidelines waiting. And at this point, so far, that's a good thing if you're an investor.
Well, a lot of the darling retail stocks are well off their highs here. I mean, you can look at AMC as your poster child, right? It just broke down a couple of days ago.
Well, I don't know if I would look at AMC as a poster child. I would certainly say it's a poster child for the meme stocks, okay. And it's where the Reddit crowd was. Okay. But I think, believe it or not, people have gotten smarter, which is encouraging. So they've moved away from some of those typical meme stocks, although I think GameStop is still up, and they're looking for things that have fallen apart, and they start coming in and buying based on other types of sensibilities, like, for example, electric cars. I mean, that whole explosion of Rivian that just happened, or metaverse type stocks like Roblox, which went up. You know, obviously cryptocurrencies, which during the market drop really still is doing very, very well.
So okay, but all those things are also off their highs too, right? Rivian was at 180, right?
Yes, yeah. No doubt. But relative to the actual market, compared to what the market did, they're actually still doing pretty well. I mean, you know, when you have Bitcoin up here at 57,000, 58,000, considering a couple months ago, it was still down around 40. You know, that's still pretty good, even though it's not at 68. Can it get there? Absolutely.
All right. It's an interesting. I hope the retail. I hope the inflows keep coming because all that means is people are dollar cost averaging. I mean, I think that's what it means, and that's good for life and for long term investing. So I hope the inflows keep on coming. I acknowledge that at least it's been a pretty tough year for a lot of the darling. I mean, you named Roblox, which is kind of like the exception, but like a lot of the darling stocks of retail have had brutal years.
Absolutely, because the whole e-commerce thing kind of, it faded. I mean, and that's my point, is that if you really want to, and you guys are pretty active investors. I'm not talking about the 401k buy and hold holders. Sure. Yeah, some of them have great stocks in there. Obviously, they have Apple in their portfolio. They're looking pretty good. But I'm talking about people like us who trade, who like to buy, look for things at value, have a good risk, ride it, sell it, or take some partial profit, maybe leave a tail or what have you. That's where I think the retail investment space has gotten actually evolved into something a little bit smarter. And that gives me some encouragement, not long term necessarily, but that's why I think we listen for these headlines. But essentially, if you think about it, like commodities days, right, Joel? Back in the old commodities days, the headlines were constant, but we traders, we almost didn't care. What we really looked for is price. We looked for a support level. We looked for volume coming in. We looked for inflow of orders from the big companies, depending on what commodity you were trading. And then we would go in and we would buy it or sell it, depending on what was going on. And that's what's going on now. So it's, to me, the whole game has changed, which I'm excited about.
We're on the line with Mee Schneider, Managing Director at Market Gauge. So you're talking about the retail investor, you know, being more active or being a much bigger participant in the market, to me, that could be concerning because the retail investor only looks at the market one way. And they're all, you know, that the majority of retail investors only look for the market to go up. So they look at every opportunity as a buy the dip opportunity. What you had on the close, I believe, on Wednesday, I think was just an absolute flushing of the retail investor down the toilet because these stocks, they weren't waiting for the margin calls the next morning. They were saying, hey, you don't have enough money. You know, you send a check here in the next 5 minutes or wire money and you're out. So I still think the institutions run this market. I still think that the big money runs this market. And if unless, you know, you can say the retail investor got smarter, but I think until they start looking at both sides of the market, that worries me. Because it, and if we go on past history, it's when the retail investor's been in, it's when there's been the major inflow of funds from the, that's been the top in the market. How do you combat that?
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think you make some really good points. Absolutely. And we know, I mean, listen, I've been in this game for such a long time, and it sort of reminds me of the late 70s, early 80s, in a sense, where all of a sudden everybody was flooding into the market to buy the things that were hot, like gold and silver back then, for example, just to give two examples, and, you know, the big pork belly thing. And eventually we know what happened is a lot of those retail investors got burnt. But, and I'm not saying that we won't see a good percentage share of retail investors who do get burnt. But everything has changed about the game now anyway, because you can do commission-free trading, you can get in and out, you can do fractal ownership, and you can spread into so many more instruments, even though there's actually a whole lot less number of stocks than there were, say, several years ago. It's been halved. The level of other interests like microcaps and all these cryptocurrencies have sort of filled in some of that space. So yes, I'm not saying that's the only focus. I'm saying that's the one right now credible area, because everything else has lost credibility. And in terms of the institutional investors, the retail investors did better than the institutional investors and have over for the last course of a year. But also, think about what I said in the very beginning when we first started talking. You still have to have an awareness of the macro. And that's why if they don't learn something about the simple things that we all know, how the S&P does relative as a benchmark to transportation, because let's face it, there's still a transportation index that tells us how goods are moved and demand is across the country. Retail, if they can't figure out whether or not brick and mortar is still moving. And of course, bonds and junk bonds, if they can't see what the bond traders are doing and that people are not necessarily looking at high yield, then eventually you'll have a situation where the sign was in for 2 weeks, retail investors kept it up for 2 weeks, and then whoosh, on Friday, everybody got burnt, myself included. When I say burnt, I mean some of my stocks that have been sitting there sort of floundering. You know, we got out before it got worse, and now we're looking to shop again, provided we hold up at these levels. They were crucial.
It's funny you just mentioned the Dow theory, which I hadn't thought about probably all year, probably in 2 years, right? Because I haven't needed to think about it, but it's funny how it comes. It does seem to come back and play. So Amish, just to be perfectly clear here, what does have your eye right now? What areas of the market do have your eye?
Well, for one, I really think that clean energy and this whole idea of EVs is hot and is going to be hot for a while. They just came out and said that unless companies and countries put in major investments into wind to solar to try to get to that 2050 goal of having total clean energy and lowering our carbon footprint, it's not going to happen. And I think that their countries are committed to that, including China. So I see that as a huge opportunity. Again, will anything hold up if the whole market cracks? No, but that would certainly be an area that I would be looking to buy the dip when things happen and have some kind of a core position. I also think that we may see a little bit of a sea change in terms of consumer discretionary, more into consumer staples, as we're looking at the possible inflation scenario continuing. And I like food commodities for that reason, because I think people aren't necessarily as focused as they should be. Sure, everybody complains that they go to the supermarket and everything costs more. I went to the supermarket yesterday, shelves were empty. So we still have obviously supply chain issues. People don't even want to work in these supermarkets anymore. So I think we're going to see more food rising. La Nina's here for 2022. So Mother Nature, no matter what you say, you can't control what happens there. So I'm looking at how the food commodity prices ultimately will affect everything else in the consumer. That's why I'm looking at staples. And then other trends that could possibly come up out of next year, I think, you know, remain to be seen. But like I said, this disruptive technology from EVs and also from clean air, that could trickle in. I'm still looking at stocks like Palantir. How much cheaper are they going to go? and fast.
That's the million-dollar question, Mish.
Exactly. But I'm hunting. I'm, you know, and this is where I'm a retail investor, but I'm a retail investor who is smart enough to know that you just don't keep buying on the way down.
Right.
But that you wait for some level of, you know, a reversal, however that looks, whether you're a mean reversion trader, whether, you know, you use momentum trades, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this is the disruptive technology is good. Kathy Wood, though, is just a little bit off her game in terms of her prediction. It's not happening now. She keeps buying on the way down. That's not how we operate. But that doesn't mean that she's necessarily wrong. She's just her timing is off.
What about gold? I'm sick of gold. I've been holding gold forever. I've had, you know, I probably still at a profit. This, I always say, if it gets in the 1800 handle, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to sell it. And then it dips. I mean, is it just a trading range? Is it just dominated by the, you know, by the commercials and the hedge funds? I mean, if it's not going to go up in a potentially inflationary environment, is it ever going to go up? Give me your thoughts on gold.
Well, I'm so glad you asked me about gold because I actually haven't really traded gold much. I did trade a while back, and I actually been trading silver more than gold, and I'm watching that silver gold ratio, which for a while silver was outperforming gold, which is inflationary, and I like that as a old commodities trader. And then we got out of silver, and it's just been floundering, as we can see here, back down near the lows. It's interesting with gold. I think that I'm always watching it. I'm always hunting it. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I would forget about it completely. And I don't like the argument Bitcoin versus gold. I think that's just ridiculous. They're two completely different types of instruments that serve two purposes. But here's what I would say is that if you really want to know whether or not the Fed's going to get scared about inflation, you do have to watch the precious metals. I mean, Jerome Powell's been around the block for a long time. I'm sure he's looking at gold and silver and the gold miners and even steel. You know, copper had a big explosion and now has come off. And he's looking at them and going, all right, inflation, it's food, it's, you know, gas, but that's come off. I mean, really, when you're talking about used car markets and housing market and rents and wage increase, those are inflationary concerns. But if you look thinking like him, he's saying, that's transitory. Even though he had to roll back that word, it's when gold and silver start to really pick up that people have to worry. And that's why I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg yet on what inflation can do as we're going into 2022, 2023, and 2024, particularly if the virus comes out where we need to add stimulus in any way or bail out industries like the airlines or the hotel industry, the entertainment industry, which is still really suffering.
So, all right, let's wrap things up here, Mish. Yeah. What would make you, I don't know if it's technical or fundamental, what would make you super bearish and what would make you super bullish?
We're talking market or gold?
The market.
Market.
The market. What would make me super bearish right now is if, and I'm going to go back to my Dow Jones, because that really tells you about the demand of consumers and how things are moving, is if transportation sector, looking at IYT, significantly breaks down under a 50-week moving average. It's been holding it for a very long time. That would be a reversal of trend from bullish to caution, and I would take that seriously.
Wait, real fast. 50 week or 50 day?
50 week.
50 week. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. And I think the 50 week comes in at around 153, 155. We bounced off of that this week. Okay. So that would be number one to make me bearish. Mm-hmm. The thing that would make me bullish is exactly the opposite. If that continues to hold, if the junk bonds don't crash from here, if the small caps can get back over its 50 week, which is at IWM at 222, then I think we're going to try another leg higher. And that's where I talk about these retail investors. Forget about the headlines. Just watch where the money is flowing. Watch price.
All right, Mish Snyder, Managing Director at Market Gauge. Mish, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great weekend and a happy holiday.
Happy holidays to you, too. All right, that was a long one, but I enjoyed that.
Good information there.
It's been too long since we've had Mish on the show. We have 4 minutes left before the end of the hour. Let's do some ticker time. Drop your tickers in the chat. We will take a look-see. Dennis, you doing okay over there?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just took a break because I'm I'm not feeling 100%. We know that. So I'll try to do 3 minutes ticker time with you guys.
Oh, man. Okay. I hope. Well, yeah.
Misha's great, though. I listened the whole time. I was even commenting in the chat. She's awesome.
We hope you feel better. Okay. Here's what I'm just going to go quick from the chat. UCO from Hurt Scrambler. Let's start there.
Who wants to go first? Dennis, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Well, we're just, that's just crude. So,
that's right. Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Here, I'm just going to do this real quick. Boom. Crude. What's going to happen? Are we going to take back half of it? This is a big old move. Let's see. 84 to 62, 22. What's half of that? 11. Crude's got to get back to 72, 73 and hold. I'd play, if I was long, I'd play to the upside 72, 73.
All right. Who just put this in there? Joe, pull up HD. Did you win your bet or not?
No, I did not. And I'm very upset.
I don't know. I thought you did.
Wait, I might have. Did I?
I thought you did. I don't recall the bet being it had to hit 400 cents on the kisser.
But oh, really? If it is,
I mean, yeah, I don't
it
know.
Is. It was 400, just a 400 handle.
Well, it got to 400.
It got to 400.22. Dennis, we'll let you be the judge on that.
I mean, yeah, Dennis, we had to bet, Joel and I, 400 versus 420 in Home Depot. What say you?
Well, it didn't hit the 400.
So yeah. No. Well, all right. Okay.
Who had the 400?
I did.
No, I did.
No, no, I don't even know which guy. You guys don't know which side of the bet you guys are on.
I had the bearish bet. You had the bullish bet.
Yeah, Joel makes so many bets he can't keep track of them.
No, right, right.
Dennis, what did I tell you about saying that stuff? I'm going to talk to your mom.
I was the one that was playing defense just now. So the balance benefited me. I called 400. I was the one that was playing. I called 420. I was the one playing
defense. Right, you're bullish.
Yeah, I was bullish. So. Okay.
So someone asked about Home Depot.
Is that it?
Is that why we went on this tangent?
Yes.
What do we get? This is important. What? This is easy. 408, 409. We hold it. A couple highs in the same area. 410. Got to get above 410 and a quarter. 410.70. Boom. You're going back to all time highs. You fail here. 408, 409. You're going back to test the 400.
Oh. Here's an interesting one. Look at Playboy, PLBY. This one has held up very nicely in the last few months.
It really has. Yeah. I don't know, but I can't buy anything that's high growth and high valuation. So
what is the valuation?
And I hate NFTs now too. So
you hate it all. What is the valuation here? 1.5 billion. Oh no, there's a market cap of.
I don't think they make money.
Forward PE, they do. 62. All right, that's a lot.
This thing doesn't.
Kind of stock that's working in this environment, but it actually has held up very well. So I'll
it has held up
props.
Well. These three pesky highs here, if it doesn't take out these sellers, this is called the 41 area. I think it's going to roll over and die like a pig.
I'm going to go so I don't roll over and die here.
Oh,
so. On that note.
Take the rest of the day, please.
I am I'm hoping to be better for you guys Monday. We'll find the results of my COVID test. I am not feeling well at all.
All right. Feel better, Dennis, please. Seriously.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Guys, if we can't get like a sympathy like for Dennis fighting through the last 3 days with a cold.
He's tough. Can you imagine these guys on CNBC coming on when they're not feeling well like that? That's unbelievable. All right. I got Sean Udall coming on at 9 o'clock. So right. He's going to have a few opinions as always. He did get bullish. It's a question of his timing on his bullishness, but I'm going to go over to Pre-Market Prep Plus, sign up for the event. Overwhelming response to the event. Thank you, everybody. And Spencer, I'm going to call you at 2 o'clock. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, everyone, have a great day.
I just dropped the link to the event that Joel referred to in the chat. It's pinned there. It's also in the description. It's a week from tomorrow, December 11th. Dennis, Joel, I'll be there. Mitch will be there. Last special event of the year. So, okay, I'm going to wrap. We're going to do live trading with Benzinga starting at 9:05 today, as per usual. So, Ryan, Zunaid, Mitch, I'll be there for a few. So, where are we at on the like front? We're at 160. Oh, gosh, guys. No, it didn't update. I'm sorry. So now it updated. We're at 379. Can we get to 500 likes in the next like minute? I think we can. I mean, just do it for Dennis. Don't even do it for me. Don't even do it for Joel. Do it for Dennis. Say hi to Aaron Bree behind me. Anyway, thanks to our guest, Mee Schneider. Thanks to all of you in our chat. As always, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. I will make the same call to action that I made yesterday. If you are a Robinhood user and you want some free Benzinga swag, here's what you have to do. You go on your Robinhood app. You send Robinhood support a message. You tell them how much you love Benzinga News. You want to see more Benzinga News in Robinhood. You take a screenshot of that message, and you email that screenshot to shows@benzinga.com. Do not do what some people did, which is email us a blank screenshot or email us a screenshot of YouTube. I don't want a screenshot of YouTube. I see YouTube. Send me a screenshot of your message to Robinhood to the email up on the screen. We will send you some free swag. Our email, we have like a freaking 100 emails here we have to go through and respond to. So if you emailed us, we got it. We didn't respond to it yet, but we got it. I promise. And we will get you some swag. On that note, I'll see you guys over in live trading starting in a couple of minutes. Hit the like button, please. And let's go make some money today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.